All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Thursday, October 24th to you. It's certainly a little bit happier today because night one, game one, we all found out that you can still call 12 when you need to. Memphis Grizzlies hold off a fourth quarter flurry from the Utah Jazz to win 124-122 last night in Salt Lake City. We're going to be talking a ton about that. John Morant, yes, was back. And was big late, obviously. 22 points, 10 assists. We will talk about that. We said some other person had to step up with Jaren Jackson down last night. Said that before the game. And Santi Aldama certainly did that. We will talk about what he did in Jaren's stead. I think Keontae George just missed another free throw. Thank you, Keontae. Also in the NBA, because it was a full slate. I think there were 10 games last night, as my partner John Martin joins me. We saw the wall. The wall of fans in the Clippers' new $2 billion, I believe they call it the Intuit Dome. And it caused some missed free throws. Clippers still lost. Clippers still found a way to lose in the opener there in the Intuit Dome. We'll go all through the league. Pelicans, my gosh, already got big injury news. They did, as John put it last night, pack up my Bulls still. And I'm going to stop calling them my Bulls because that franchise is a disgrace. They should just relegate us, John, to the G League.
AAC?
Make it a 29-team league. Take the Bulls out.
Don't y'all play in the AAC? Isn't it the American Airlines Center?
Man, I don't know anymore. I think it is.
Yeah. So y'all certainly fit the moniker. There's no doubt about it.
My team played in the Madhouse on Madison and then early the United Center.
That's right.
United Center.
Yeah.
Is it not still the United Center?
I thought it was the American Airlines.
That was old Dallas or something. American Airlines Arena sounds something old. I don't, maybe it is, though.
No, that's Dallas. You're right.
Good Lord, brother.
My bad. I knew there was an AAC out there, though.
You were up all night watching them West Coast games.
I was up all night watching 2016 Marcus Smart highlights.
Why?
Just trying to recapture the glory days.
Because that was a different player.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Well, just like your Bulls were different Bulls, you know?
Now, you're going to come in here after a win. Talking about you had to go look at some old Marcus Smart highlights to make you feel better. We got the dub.
Well, that's right. Dub is great, but there's a bigger mission here, right? There's a bigger mission. Well,
I would agree with that.
It's not about beating the Utah Jazz by a bucket. You know, the Jazz are awful. They're a bad team. They're a team that's tanking. They're gonna, even if they're not trying, they're gonna lose a lot of games. But you know, as Glorilla says, right? They back for everything they ever lost. They on a mission, these Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
And so winning one game against the Utah Jazz, bro, that was expected.
Well, I'll take a road win. I don't know. You and Drew told me how dangerous it was yesterday.
Well, kind of felt dangerous.
Well, we got it, didn't we? Just like old Smooth
said. But they didn't cover.
I don't care about covering. That's what you care about.
FanDuel Sports Network, they didn't cover.
That's what you care about. So, and if you'd taken it early in the day, they would have, right? Wasn't it at 1.5 earlier?
No, it was never 1.5. It was always 2.5. It opened 4.
Well, then I'm sorry you messed with it.
Well, I didn't I need your answer for that.
That's what I'm not going to have is folks coming in here mad at the Grizzlies because they didn't cover last night. You go and win on the road. Let's see if you can get another one at Houston before you have the season opener on Saturday.
Houston.
We're not going to start like this after a dub.
I guess you just really want to bury your head in the sand on FanDuel Sports Network, do you? They don't foul down 2 with 5 seconds left?
I bet you were hot about that, weren't
you? I was not. I had the over only. I told you that. Mm-hmm. I was not going to bet the Grizzlies without Jaren. I'm not doing that.
That Utah didn't foul, but it's just another sign that they are thinking.
They were just ready to get the game over with, clearly. We
have takes.
1-0. We do have a lot of takes. There's some good. There were some bad. There was, a lot.
There was some Keontae George ugly.
There was some ugly. Well said. So we'll get into that today on the show. Also, we do have a little bit of an update for you on the Memphis basketball situation. There's more. Just when you thought it was over with Tyreek Smith and Boog.
Well, I was hoping to sleep a little bit on Memphis basketball until Monday.
Until
the charity exhibition.
You thought.
The number one team in America, my number one team.
You
Alabama.
Thought. So, unfortunately, yeah.
Wow. I got to wake up.
Yeah, you got to wake up.
More drama.
With the same group, so. This is just really exciting. So we'll
and we're going to reserve some time for you to talk about what Paolo did last night.
Come on. The Young Bull was awesome. I got it. Come on, bro. I'm serious. You gotta speak 2-3 minutes on the Young Bull looks ready for year three, I must say.
It was a good night for Lyft.
Bro.
It was a good night for Lyft.
Paolo looked good.
Yeah,
I mean, he's about to take them to the next level. I'm dead serious, John.
They look like messing with you. You know what? A top four seed.
Yeah, this is going to be a day where I pat you on the back.
Thank you, sir. Oh, I love that.
I can tell you were a little. Yeah, you were a little worried, sir.
Don't
be worried. This is a day I'm going to pat you on the back after your slow start coming up in here, mad about not covering.
I didn't have the Grizzlies, man. All right.
Well, you act like it.
I had the over. I told you on the show I had the over, and that was like no sweat.
Yeah, but you be getting them sneaky ones in right before.
That's true. I do, but I did not have the Grizzlies. I would tell you if I had the Grizzlies.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
You know, I'd be a lot more upset with you on text if I had the Grizzlies.
Buttercup.
After that one.
1-0.
But I'll tell you this. Somebody had them, and somebody was mad as hell.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, anyway, we'll do that today on the show. Adam Chernoff going to join us at 125 from Right Angle Sports. We'll talk NFL with him. What is this week? I don't even know what week it is.
It's week 8.
Week 8. My goodness. We're at the halfway mark. Damn near.
bro, I need to know what he thinks about Chicago, Washington.
Yeah, it's a big game.
With the possibility, and it looks to me, you can tell me, Chernoff can tell me, we're favored by 3 on the road. That tells me Vegas thinks Jaden Daniels ain't playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that we're okay?
Yeah, in practice.
Okay,
right,
okay,
so.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for 125.
Yeah.
This could be 5-2 for us.
I mean, you're a big favorite.
Dude, Washington is in the division race.
They
in
are.
The East.
But that's because of Jaden Daniels.
I know.
And so
I'm saying, you know, it says a lot that they're being this cautious with him.
Yes.
Because he still seems celebratory after the win.
Exactly.
But week to week is different from day to day, and that's what Dan Quinn has designated him as.
For sure.
Looked to me like that's where we're headed. Vegas certainly seems to think so. Anyway, we got some, you know, Cowboys Cowboys Niners.
Yep, sounds like Debo's going to play after all, maybe. Got out of the hospital.
I guess so long as the Cowboys beat Pittsburgh and the 49ers, they'll be okay with how the season went.
That's right. I need them to lay down for this one, though. This would really make my bet feel good under 10.5. but we'll talk to Adam Chernoff about all of that at 1:25. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. Grizzlies get the win, 1-0, 126-124. I was listening. Apparently, people had a ton of problems accessing the game.
Yes,
I figured you
had none because you're on VIP League Pass.
Yeah.
But apparently, League Pass in Memphis, you can't see.
Correct.
You're blacked out.
Yeah. But when you.
So if you don't have your VIP,
but when you're, when
you
you're,
better have the app or you, the service, the
that's
TV
right.
provider that has it.
That's right. But when you're him, you ain't got to worry about that kind of stuff.
Or him, because I got the Superbox. I didn't have to worry about it. Now I'm watching Utah's crew on the game.
Yeah.
I don't. You think I mind that? I mean, but again, you know, that's the price you pay.
So people, people that had Xfinity were not getting the channel. Is that what the problem was? I mean, I wouldn't know because I don't have.
I didn't look deep into it, but we get the deal. Change is often not a good thing.
Well, it is amazing how hard it is to watch the
NBA.
And
if you have League Pass in Memphis, but you can't see that's difficult. That seems to defeat the purpose, right? And so this was, listen, Harrington can watch the Grizzlies on League Pass in Minnesota,
right?
But then, you know, I guess Minneapolis, wherever he is in the suburbs, whatever the hell Harrington's doing today,
yes,
he couldn't watch them with League Pass,
right?
If he was back here in Memphis,
but he cannot watch the Timberwolves on League Pass.
So he damn near had to move,
yes.
To keep his league pass and continue to maximize it.
If you want to watch the Grizzlies, you have
the Grizzlies from afar.
You have to leave Memphis.
Ain't that crazy?
Yes. I'm sorry.
So either get your Superbox or get your John's league. Let him ask him to get his VIP.
I told you I'm not getting it.
And he said he can't give it out anymore. Or you got to pay the $20 for the app.
That's right.
And they said, and what I did here, had good reports on
the app.
The app
worked well.
That's what everybody said.
It was just the cable.
You know we struggle with that.
Yeah, that's tough. Because people don't want to do the app.
Come on, bro.
They're like, why do I pay Xfinity? You know, which is a fair.
It's unfortunate.
If I pay an Xfinity, I don't want to have to also then pay $20 on top for the app.
Brad's doing YouTube TV. He can't watch him.
Right.
Got to get the app.
Brad's listening on radio. You know, he's
right now listening on radio.
He has said that he is listening on radio. He will not
spend
another dollar
nefarious
apps.
It's difficult to watch.
It is. But the Grizzlies are not. If you get a chance to watch them, they are quite easy to watch. Because there is no question, we talked all season just in terms of the major observations.
Yes.
The first and foremost is definitely the style of play. I mean, it just smacks you in the face, right? Like, it's so fast and it's so shooting-oriented, right? You talked about it yesterday. The opening of the NBA season, the Celtics take 61 threes.
Yes.
Everybody's launching threes. Grizzlies shoot 45 threes.
Thought that was important.
I don't know what their average was last year.
It's funny you ask. 37.8.
There you go. So
and
we're
your boy went and looked.
So that's a huge increase. That's absolutely a 20 to 30% increase.
Again, that's the average. There were nights where the Grizz shot more, yeah. But if you were seeing listen, that possibly could be low. It could be mid-range in terms of what the plan is.
Because Jaren wasn't even on the court.
Exactly.
And he's going to take threes. So, I mean, I think there's just no question about it that there is a
17 of 45, 38% last night. You were the 29th worst three-point shooting team in the league last year by field goal percentage. You're putting up more, and hopefully, John, you've got enough shooting.
Exactly right.
We said you still got concerns about it,
exactly
but hopefully
right.
You've got enough shooting now to look a little bit more like what the best in the league are doing.
There's no doubt.
Isn't that why you go draft a Jalen Wills and a Casper who both shot 40% in college?
That's it.
That's what you're trying to do here.
I mean, even Brandon Clark was taking threes.
My guy, I can't wait.
He didn't make any.
Wait till you get to your boy Jay Huff.
Yeah, and
I don't want to. He's not the headline.
No, he's not the headline.
But I'm excited about Jay Huff.
Yeah, like so.
And you brought me here.
Like to me, the whole the big takeaway for me was it's this new style of play where they're emphasizing the three, and then you're and then it's at the end of the game. As it always has been, it's just Ja, right?
Well, at one point, that style had you, up 17 or whatever. You felt really good.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a tight game, and like it got, obviously, in the fourth quarter. But to your point, yes, to finish off where you were there, you found out
that
you
was
still
the good.
College,
that was like, it was like, you accentuate all of this with Ja's greatness inside and his ability to score from anywhere at the end of the game.
A little bit of takeover,
and,
right? Like you expect.
Yeah, exactly.
From him.
And you
when
sort
you
of,
need it.
You know, you garnish it with the new, you know, three-point shooting and emphasis. And that's going to be the Grizzlies win. I mean, they're defensively, they're plucky. You know, they do have individual good on-ball defenders. I thought Scottie did a great job last night. I thought even though they gave 124 points in a vacuum, I thought the defense was pretty good, and that's without Jaren. But this definitely feels like
it'll
a new
a lot better with Jaren.
Orientation around offense.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said about the offense. I think it's important, and we'll be monitoring it because three-point shooting has been such a weakness. Obviously, Zach Kleiman realizes that. He looked at the numbers. He's a numbers guy, and that's where you had to catch up with the rest of the league. And particularly, John, on a team where your point guard is not a great three-point shooter. So it's even more critical that you've got shooting all around him. And last night you saw it from just about everybody, and you also saw it from the bench. You know, Huff goes 3 of 5, Jalen Wells 2 of 5. You know, Laravia, Conchar each hit one, and so that's what you like to see—the ability of everybody, because that's what the Boston Celtics look like, guys. And it's a copycat league, and no, you're not going to have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but having just about everybody on your team have that ability to throw that ball up from three—that's where the league is right now. You know, so like you mentioned, 61 threes from the Celtics that first night. You know, Grizzlies looked a little something like that last night with 45.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you went there first as opposed to, oh, Ja is back. I'm like, we said, you know, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean.
And you see he elevates the level.
Exactly.
And it was what we expected, and that's awesome. But I thought that offense and what we had said with Drew yesterday and how much he thought with all these coaching changes, obviously, this is going to look different. It did.
It did.
So I'm,
it,
so I'm
it,
with
it 100%
you,
looked different.
And I'm glad you started there.
Yeah, and because Ja is, you know, The only thing that was kind of interesting last night was the minute distribution, right? Like, those guys.
There were times where you said, why isn't he in the game? And so,
do
you
end
capped
the,
him
end
off
of the first
it?
Half?
I mean, he didn't
fourth.
Play 30. He only played 28 minutes.
Yeah. Now, I know that Taylor Jenkins for the game mentioned the altitude and that he was going to, you know, try to be as cautious as he could. But the idea that Santi Aldama led you in minutes in a win is kind of nuts.
Well, I think it's both.
He's awesome.
It speaks well that you could. Now, obviously, became a close game late and you had to call Ja. But you also, you had Pippen out there for 22 minutes, and that's what you envision. It's why you convert him to a standard contract, is because that's a guy who can hopefully, at least during the regular season, take some of the pressure off of Ja. No, you don't have a Tyus Jones. Frankly, it's good that you don't from a roster-building standpoint now, because you couldn't afford to have one. And Scottie Pippen last night, again, in 22 minutes, you mentioned it, defensively, good 3 steals to go with the 7 assists. He was +5, 6 points. I mean, didn't hit a three. But hopefully that shooting will be there for you, be consistent enough. That's that goes back to the Ja Morant only having 28 minutes. You were able to get by last night on the road, get a win with your backup point guard playing 22 minutes. Oh, by the way, it's on a much better contract than Tyus was on. That's a good thing in terms of that's what you want your roster to do, right? You look at the way it's built. You intend for it to do one thing. Scottie's able to come right in and relieve Ja, even in some moments we thought, okay, well, yeah. It's gotten kind of tight. Let's get him back out there. You were able to get away with 22 for Scotty and 28 for Ja. That's a good thing. Guys, getting Ja to the playoffs. What are we talking about here? He's had a durability issue.
Yeah.
And so you don't want him out there 35, 37 minutes trying to grind out a win against a Utah Jazz team that's going to be at the bottom of the Western Conference. So it was great that they were able to, John, like you said, offensively, you saw a little bit of what you're hoping to see from the team.
Yep.
But then when you had to call 12, you kept him under 30, and he still won the damn game for you.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, those little jump passes he does, and then Santi's cutting, that's what helped win him the game. Santi made a couple big, you know, off passes from John. Like that, wow. You coach players not to do jump passes, right? Not to jump in the air before you know where you're going to go with the ball.
Yep.
It's literally a skill for Ja.
Yep.
He hangs so long. Bro, he will look to 2-3 different people before he comes down and then makes the pass before he's landed. It's unbelievable. It's a skill for him.
It is.
You coach against that. It's a skill for him that obviously no one else, it doesn't seem like very many in the league can do.
Yeah, so I think
he's doing it to Santi last night.
The biggest thing is,
crazy,
super positive night, like super positive
for
night.
The offense. Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
And that's without Jaren, mm-hmm. who's going to add to it.
Absolutely,
and you know,
I'd
Santi is going to thrive in this system. Clearly, like he just continued to get open look after open look.
Yeah, we'll see if he can continue to shoot like he did.
He
last
may not
night.
Shoot that well.
I know we said it because you had what FIBA and then you had Olympics, and
right.
We said, well, there wasn't a huge jump after FIBA, so
right.
Can we really expect a huge jump after Olympics, dude? This guy's been playing a lot of ball, and at some point it might happen, especially when you're on the last year of your contract.
Very
so
true.
So hopefully you get now again. The opportunity's not going to be there like it was last night for him once Jaren is back. So can you maximize once you're playing in stretches? That's the going to be the key for Santi, but man, that looked good last night.
Yes, you know, and then Jay Huff is another revelation.
Huff is enough.
You know,
Huff the Magic Dragon.
He's the first, you know, second big off the bench, I guess, behind Brandon Clark. But I mean, that dude was he was knocking him down. He was knocking him down from outside.
Please take your victory lap.
No.
I'm dead serious, dude.
Knew me.
I looked at you, and when you said Jay Huff, they got him. He's going, you know, he's on a two-way. You can do a little something behind Edie. Calm down.
Yeah.
I looked at you like you're crazy.
Well, because I don't think he's going to do this every night. Like,
what are you talking about?
He can't do this. He ain't going to score 13 a night.
Dude, he's done it every time he's gone out there and pressed.
But, I mean, he is a mismatch. Like with that size and ability, he is a mismatch. He runs the floor pretty well.
He looks like he should be playing for the Miami Heat. Like he's a part of Heat culture where he can shoot that thing, and then you know he looks like one of them type of players.
Okay,
I'm
dead
serious. He was even a factor like at the rim, trying to be active defensively.
Yeah, he was. No, he truly was. I mean, it's a good.
I might be overreacting just because you know I didn't believe John when he said it. And I've come so far already, but this dude will be useful.
Yep.
And I could absolutely see it. And Harrington's been talking about it.
Yep.
You make him the last contract.
Absolutely,
you know,
right.
There's no rush to do it because you got G League control of him. Right? I mean, you got two-way control
of him. It would make
no
sense not to.
But here's the other thing I agree with. You don't need to send him down to G League. Nah.
No.
Just keep him up here the whole time and then make your decision. Right? That dude's better than G League. Period.
Yeah.
You can develop right here.
Absolutely.
And there's a place for you, obviously, because I know where you're going to get to.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to be... There's going to be a learning curve for Zach Edey.
Yeah.
There are going to be times when you need...
I wanted to do, like, all the positives.
No, I'm getting on you. No, well, we're getting at the end of the list.
We are. No, you're right.
And so I know, you know, it's about that time. I won't
yeah.
go just... But we're getting there.
Again, want to reiterate, like, this is game one of what we hope is, you know, 100-plus, right? Like, we hope that there's a lot more games here. But there was mostly good. You know, new offense, Ja coming in immediately, doing what he does, you know.
Jalen Wells continued to look poised.
Yeah,
that was going to be outside the rotation. That's now, as shorthand as you are, second unit, you know, inside it.
Yep.
I mean, he was fantastic. He continues to look the part. He is an interesting prospect.
But there were two individual performances, and I'm curious as to which one you think was more concerning for these Grizzlies. And we'll start with the rookie, who's you know, it was his first game action, and that was Zach Edey. He fouled out in, what, 15 minutes? I think he became the first player since the NBA-ABA merger to foul out in 15 minutes in his debut. I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
Wow.
So, you know, listen, this is a guy that played 138 college basketball games in his career, and he only fouled out one time. He's played one NBA basketball game that actually counts, and he's fouled out. You talk about learning curve, bro. It's going to be steep.
Oh, man, you sound like you're moving the goalpost.
I'm not moving the goalpost.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Right. I was wondering how far you were going to go with your take. I still think he's going to be
a good player and effective, but, like, you're seeing him out there, and you compared Zach Edey year one at Purdue to Zach Edey year four at Purdue, completely different person, completely different player. It took him time at Purdue. It's going to take him time with the Grizzlies, and I hope that people are patient with him. It felt like it's going to be a lot of on-the-job training for Zach Edey, is what I would say.
You better believe it's rookie starter. There ain't many situations in the league like him none like him on a contender.
I'm not out on him.
That'd be an overreaction to be out on Zach Edey after one game.
I'm just banking in that, A, he's not going to be the rookie of the year. I try to tell you guys that. And then secondly, it's probably going to be until 2025 before we start seeing him consistently able to be effective in these games. It's kind of how I feel.
You're going too far.
You think?
No, I mean, a little bit.
You think I'm going too far?
He's gone. Dude, he could look good against Houston tomorrow.
Let me make
my case.
Walker did have a real
two things.
Yeah,
that's number one. Walker had some motivation there, right, after hearing about it since Summer League. And he played well. Here's the other thing nobody's talking about, but you all saw it. I thought John Collins got in his head early.
He did.
You know, the back and forth between them. John was hooking him. And Edey, you can't see it on his face. He does a good job of being emotionless. And maybe that's not even, you know, it's not even something he sets out to do.
Right.
It's just him. So you couldn't really tell if John Collins was under his skin. In fact, I'm thinking, because Edie's so cool all the time, I said early on, I said, we under John Collins' skin. Push him back. You know, that's the way I was. But you saw it from the missed free throws. Like, the guy was 1 of 5 from the line. He was shaken upstairs. You know, you shook up the mindset, it felt like to me. They did a good job early on with John Collins challenging him. And, yes, Walker Kessler came to eat because he had been – we just said it, owned by him in Summer League in that debut. And it probably had heard about it ever since, probably was hearing about it right before the game. And those two really did a number on him, I thought, where you had Edey sort of out of his own head. And I'm just saying, let's give it some time.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that said, remember, I'm the guy that's saying, let's hold on Zach Edey and putting all these expectations, my gosh. And he's not going to be some perfect, you know, some perfect rookie and all this. So believe me. So I'm not, you know, I'm trying to be fair here, and what I saw last night was a guy who very early on was taken out of the game mentally, and John Collins did that. A guy that I look at now and say, "Oh man, you overpaid." Well, he did a good job last night of taking the Grizz rookie. Now Jay Huff comes right in and, you know, is able to pick up that level of play that you're getting from your five. But no, I thought let's see. I'm with you. Yes, learning curve. We said that. We saw it the last game against Miami in the preseason. You know, Zach Edey's still bringing the ball down. There's a lot still that he's got to work on and fine-tune, but they're going to be a lot better nights. And, dude, he's still in the Rookie of the Year race.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a starter on a winner.
But, yeah,
that's going to take him a long way just right there.
I'm just not really going to weigh anything definitively with him until 2025. Like,
that's fine. Probably smart. Yeah, you know? I mean, until you're saying the back half.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Of this, because
I think this
you're
is going to
25, 26.
No.
Back half of this season. Yes, let him settle in.
Yeah,
you know, let him. You know, that league looked fast for him last night, didn't it?
It did. But especially
he'll catch up
on the offensive side
that.
Too. Like, he's not
a perfect fit in the same way Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
Is,
although Klingon struggled last night too.
Well, there you go, and you ain't out on him.
No.
Okay.
No. I'm not out on Zach, to be clear.
Well, you said.
I'm just saying. I don't think he's gonna be the rookie of the year. I don't believe.
Well,
that.
And that's just you sticking to your guns because you said that from the get-go.
Yeah. And,
okay. So that's not movement.
I'm just
the court recognized.
I'm laying back on him. I'm just laying back on. Like, I'm just gonna let him take. Zach's gonna have to take his lumps. He's just going to have to take his lumps, and there's going to be a lot.
It's going to be good for him.
You know, but yes, I believe in him as a player because I saw you wouldn't even recognize the dude freshman to senior year at Purdue.
Dude, 1 of 5 from the line told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah.
They were in his head last night. John Collins did it.
Yeah.
All right, that's performance number one. What's your second one?
That
you were concerned about?
It was definitely Marcus Smart as your starting three. You
11
know.
Points, 26 minutes, 3 of 11, 1 of 6 from 3.
Do you have his plus minus?
I do is -5.
Right. in a win, in a 2-point win. He was minus five.
Yeah.
We had this discussion, I think, Monday maybe, about Marcus Smart, or it was last week. I don't remember. Was I here last week?
No, it was Monday.
It was Monday. Okay. And we said I think we both agreed that we were a little worried that he's damaged goods here, that his best years were behind him with the Celtics.
Well, yeah, we said watched him Friday night very closely. He looks out of shape.
Yeah,
and yes, could they? You know, we got there. Could that be the case? Yeah, to what you're saying.
And then you see him
that his best basketball is behind him,
and he again is extremely out of shape. Like there was one pass that Ja threw him, and he didn't even attempt to go after it.
Well, yeah, and his first shot just got blocked right back in his face because he couldn't get up off the floor. There's less lift right now. He just looks. He looks a little heavy. I don't think we need to apologize about this. Marcus Smart looks out of shape.
Now, did he get married in the offseason?
I want to say he did.
Yeah, so he got married in the offseason. That's what they say. You know, you eat the cake, right? You eat that wedding cake, and it just happens. It just happens. So we've all been there.
Can I tell you about how I would feel if I was traded away from the city and the team that I loved after 9 years of me making the playoffs and,
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I know it's a business.
Yeah.
And I can understand where I'm at now with the Memphis Grizzlies and I'm in a new situation, but I just watched them go win a title without me. And I just keep thinking again, and we've used the phrase over and over again and applied it to other situations, but Draymond talking about the dynasty starts after you, and he was referring to Dylan Brooks with the Grizzlies, but that's what Marcus Smart feels like he has to deal with right now. And so I'm just saying, could I see an offseason, which, yeah, you mentioned it, maybe you ate the cake from the wedding. And you're a little less motivated, man, because you just watched your boys. The guys you helped grow, John, you helped mature. They won a title without you, bro. And they might be on their way to a dynasty. Like, I could see being a little less motivated.
Well, I would say
there's an important point to be made, but go ahead.
Are you Marcus?
Yeah, I'm Marcus. I had a little bit of a tough summer. I got married. I know it's y'all look at me, and I'm supposed to be enjoying life, right? I'm at the high point of my life.
Yeah.
But guys, my guys just went and won a title without me.
Yeah.
I might have been the weak link.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to deal and cope with that. I'm on the couch.
Yeah, you're on the couch. Well,
and yeah, I'm coming in a little heavier. My shoulders are a little rounder. They're usually square.
Right.
Looking a little heavy.
What I would tell you, Marcus, is that you were traded 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, I'm still coping.
And it's time to get your head out of your ass.
But they just won, fool. Don't say head out of my ass.
Consider
my feelings. Dude, I've been a pro my whole career, and when you had me in that game, I'm minus 20 or whatever the hell it is. Why are you asking about my plus minus? I still made some vet plays for you down the stretch.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little ugly layup,
but
I made it. I hit 1-3 for you, okay? Now, I probably shot too many, but I'm going to play myself into shape because you need me. Because you don't have Vince and Gigi now.
We need you for the time being, to be clear.
So first of all, give me a little bit more respect for what I've done in this league.
You should have come to camp with more professional attitude.
And you need to be more professional in game. This was a down part of my career. You know, I'm hurting a little bit. I'm going to get it together. I'm going to get in shape.
Well, to be candid with you, that is my concern with him. That he's not going to be able to move on.
Dude, but you're deciding that for him. I'm telling you, the business started last night. He saw it. You could feel it in the first shot. You're not getting up off the floor like you need to. He knows whether the commitment's been there or not. And my whole point with all this, and we could ha-ha whatever, I could understand him being a little less motivated having just watched the Celtics win a title. Is that professional? No, but nobody's expecting. And has Marcus Smart ever been a perfect professional? No. And just because you're 9, 10 years in, 11 years in now, whatever it is, doesn't necessarily mean you understand all. You're going to make all the right. I'm just saying, and here's the great. This is why I'm not as concerned to your question as I was about more Edie's performance, is because the Grizzlies have flexibility there. Eventually, Vince could be Gigi. But the point is, to go back to the word we used, you have a plethora now. Maybe eventually Jalen Wells, although I'm getting a little bit down the road. The point is, he's looking good. You now have wings that you feel a lot better about. When you made that move, you had Zaire in them dudes. You had Roddy still on the team at that point, didn't you? I mean, you had a bunch of wings that you weren't for sure. And yes, you thought Marcus was a final piece, but you have other pieces now. And so here's the deal. You got some flexibility. If he can't round into shape, if he can't get motivated, if he's not making vet plays for you in a way
that's
exactly at the trade deadline.
But you did give
and
up
you
two
pulled
first
a Dallas last year. That's all right. That's a sunken cost at this point, John, because last year in the storm, you developed Vince and Gigi Jackson, which are possible replacements. and on good standard deals for you to replace them. So that's why you don't panic.
Let me ask you this.
And you tell Marcus, hey, man, we need you in shape or else we're going to move on from you because now we got reinforcements when they get healthy.
I don't want to talk to Marcus anymore. I want to talk back to Jason. Do you have hope for Marcus Smart as a real contributor consistently to the Grizzlies?
I still have hope.
Okay.
But what I feel great about is if it's looking this ugly by trade deadline, I feel great about moving on from him because of the flexibility that they've got.
That's where I don't.
And I feel great about
it. I don't have.
Well, see, there's no reason for concern because even if he's sitting on your damn bench.
Oh, sure.
You got Vince ready to roll.
I'm just saying
right?
it will be more Vince to me.
Oh, you're making the guess right now today. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. I want to trust Marcus more because I've seen him do it in playoff moments. Last night, I'm thinking to myself, this dude knows he's out of shape and he's jacking threes.
I mean, that's why they acquired him.
You know, and that's I'm thinking, well, that's not doesn't seem like the right thing to do, right? You know, but that's sort of Marcus. We'll see. It's again, just like we've said about everything else.
Yeah.
Not going to get too crazy about
one game.
What's clear though, more than just one game, is Marcus is not in shape. Let's see what it looks like when he's in shape.
Right.
He about to have to get into shape on the job.
Yeah. So. Well, that's right. That's right. And, hey, that's the beauty of it, right?
You can see it just in the shoulders and the neck, man. Yeah, I mean, he's heavier.
Yeah, that's what, and look, it happens.
He'll round into form, hopefully. And if not, like you said, deuces.
Yeah, we got Vince.
Absolutely, dude. So, these ain't the days of Zaire and Roddy.
Yeah. It's one game, and that's the nature of the business. It's a win. We're nitpicking because the mission is bigger.
Well, those were the two key performances in terms of the other side that probably needed to be talked about and talked and certainly talked through.
Yep.
Yes. And but, I think we've done a good job of
it. Look, they're back in action against the Rockets later this week. Was it Friday, tomorrow?
Friday, and then you got the doubleheader the back-to-back where hopefully Jaren's back home Saturday.
The Rockets inexplicably lost at home to Charlotte last night, so they're going to be pissed.
You see LaMelo?
Yeah. He's back, and he is he's doing his thing. They're almost a triple-double last night, 34, 11, and 8.
So the Rockets are, you know, they just show that they can't be like the Grizzlies in the sense that, okay, well, now it's time to shut this down, right? Because they had a lead in that game. So did the Grizzlies.
Yes.
Well, when it was time.
That's right.
You know, your vets and you shut it down against a bad team. The Rockets couldn't do that. They're still a couple of steps behind, clearly, maybe even more. But I'm not. I mean, Ime Udoka is going to get them at some point to a respectable level. I mean, you can't disrespect them anymore.
Exactly.
So they'll be hot coming in here.
We'll come back
on the road.
A lot more to come here on the show. We'll talk about the latest with Memphis basketball. Remember that old Temple scandal? That old Temple gambling scandal we were talking about?
I do.
And how we didn't really know like where that sat and if anybody was going to ever like face any kind of like real repercussions for it.
Mm.
Well, we got an update on that, too. So definitely don't miss that. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Enjoy all the NFL action with a chance to win on FanDuel. Can do it tonight. Week 8 is here. America's number one sportsbook is here for ya. New customers, you can bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets. If you win a bet on any NFL game, that's all week long on any day of the week. But you got tonight's start to do it. Minnesota Rams should be interesting. In the sense that if the Rams can win anywhere, it's at home. This Minnesota team, the mask was taken off, dealt their first loss last week. I still believe in its defense, though. Just visit FanDuel.com/JaySmith and pick what you believe in to make every moment more this season with FanDuel. And remember, new customers, you can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on any NFL game. It's all at FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and of course, official partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online, real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonuses issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back, Jason and John, 99 FM ESPN on a Thursday. We're past hump day, Jason. Isn't that your favorite day of the week? Were the day past hump day, or are you a Friday man? You're a Friday man.
Yeah, I feel good on Friday.
Yeah, I already know what's up on Fridays.
I like that payday.
Thursdays are that like pump fake Friday, though, you know? You can kind of start to feel it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough.
Once you get past that hump.
That's right. Because there's 5 days, Wednesday acts as the median.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm not here to talk about the circadian rhythm and sundials and things like that. I'm here to talk about how we're going to save Memphis basketball, folks.
Oh, please, let me know.
Because, as you know, our program, our alma mater, is in desperate need of saving and rescuing. We don't have money to pay the players, you know, according to some. And this is all, of course, happening very publicly, which is, you know, regrettable, I would say. But we thought that this was all over, right? Tyreek Smith comes back to practice on Tuesday, you know, everything is cool. We're moving on. I write the column that Penny's stamped out the fire. Like, this is growth. This is great. And then today, I see a tweet from Hitman Hoops. Who else? Hitman Hoops kind of started this when he tweeted that Tyreek Smith quit the team. Penny said today he never quit the team. Could it be semantics? I don't know. But Hitman Hoops said on Twitter today that he spoke with Tyreek Smith's mentor, Boog. You remember Boog? Boog was the guy that was going all on Twitter saying, we ain't been paid since June. We ain't had this. We ain't had that. We you know, it ain't Penny's fault. He's the guy on Twitter that sort of said all that publicly. And Hitman said he spoke with Tyreek's mentor, who said that they've been working through several NIL payment issues over the last few months. Boog also said Reek turned down $900,000 from another school in the portal to play for less at Memphis. So Memphis getting the hometown discount here after Reek turns down $900,000. And then Hitman comes back an hour later and adds this. Another interesting note. This is not an isolated situation with Tyreek, and there are multiple other players with similar concerns. And here is the shot. No chaser, Jason.
Okay.
Boog is committed. This is Tyreek's mentor. Boog is committed to helping Penny raise the additional NIL that Memphis needs for this season. Boog is going to do it, man. Boog is going to help us bridge this gap that we have with NIL. He's the man for the job. And I already know what you're asking. I already know what you're asking. Well, how does he intend to do that? How can Boog do it? Because Penny couldn't do it, apparently. So how is Boog going to do it? So according to people on Twitter, I don't have a way to verify this, but it's on Twitter, so it has to be true. Boog was outside of FedEx Forum this morning selling candy. He was selling candy. You know how when you go to like the old Mapco and those kids come up to you with the candy bars, they're like, hey, I play for Bellevue Middle School.
It's not just Memphis, it was in Chicago too.
Yeah, they're like, hey,
it's all over this fine country.
We got a road trip coming up. You want a Twix?
Yeah.
And the tweet's like $40. One time I had a kid come up to me. He's like, hey, I'm a member of White Station basketball team. Mm-hmm. I said, man, who is your coach? He made up some name. Like, get out of my face. You're lying. You're lying. You're capping. So we're selling candy outside the forum to bridge this gap. Now, I don't know what kind of candy. I don't have that answer. But maybe Boog will tell us. But, you know, maybe if, like, I'd buy some NIL Skittles, you know. Maybe some NIL peanut butter M&Ms. How about you?
No, I'm not going to contribute.
You're not going to buy no candy from Bob?
No, if I donate, it'll be to the collective. You know, directly,
Jason,
to the collective.
Boog is helping us, bro. He's helping us with NIL. He's just selling candy so that you can pay Tyreek.
It says he's putting their faces on water bottles, is what Hitman says.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. So
that was like 30 minutes ago.
According to Hitman,
we have new ideas.
Boog mentioned several creative ways to leverage the branding of Penny and players to generate revenue for the collective. One idea that he has worked towards involves using images of players on water cans that would be sold during games. Now, I know what you're asking. What is a water can?
Yeah, I was asking him, what's a water can?
We're also working through that. We don't know what that is.
Typically, if I'm not doing it out of the faucet or the fridge, I'm doing it out of a bottle.
A bottle, right. Now I do think there are cans of water in like an emergency FEMA situation, maybe, if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they sell water by the can.
I'm just really thinking outside the box over there, Boogies.
I like it. Look, can you look, Dane?
Not just the candy.
I would buy a water can with Moose's face on it. I would do it. I would absolutely do it. Not really. I mean, but here's my question. Like, are we talking about a shortfall of $12 here? Because how the hell are we going to make up the discrepancy that Book says we got? You know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 with water cans. How much you charging for water? I mean, this is crazy, man. And I feel a little duped because I wrote yesterday that I was so proud of Penny that he stamped the situation out. But did this situation being stamped out mean that you had to invite this marketing genius into your program to sell water cans? I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like Boog has, you know, sort of shoehorned himself into the program. If he's helping him collect NIL, everything else. I don't know. There is a little bit, and it is.
Liquid Death comes in a can, and Liquid Death is delicious. Sparkling water.
In terms of the way you've presented this, you could look at it lightly and have a ha-ha. I don't think it's a good sign for a.
No, you're just thirsty. You got a headache because you need a water can.
I, like you, was hopeful that this was dead, but who's at the forum today? Didn't you say he's down there today?
That's what somebody tweeted me. Dylan told me he's down there.
What event is today?
Oh, I think he just...
Richard Smith said downtown is dead.
Oh, his book's
so
bringing it back.
So unless there's a game going on, there ain't nothing happening and no one to sell to right now. I think I'd have been just cooler if it had just been candy. But then when you tell me now you're going to add the images of players to the water cans, I feel like we're even more desperate. This saddens me. I'm going to be real honest with you. And maybe saddened is the wrong word. I'm disappointed. What we're talking about, it makes you look like a laughing stock. You know, you're supposed to be a team that's ready to get back to the tournament and everything else. And this could end up being nothing, just like Tyreek being out of practice for one day seemed like nothing. But I don't think this is a good sign.
Right.
None of this. The issue is that your business and how much Tyreek is being paid or whatever. You had Gary Parrish report on it. So now whether it's us knowing it or other people on the team, and this is not good for. This is not the symptoms of a healthy program, is what I'm saying. When you've got your business and you're really your tail out on Front Street, in a way that, man. You don't need, certainly not if you're Penny Hardaway going into year 7. And some of this, I understand it, and you said it in your column, is not your mess. It's not a mess of your making. I can understand promises and deals being made with assistants who were instrumental in NIL and like Rick Stansberry, and look what he's done with it, so why wouldn't you trust him? But I go back to what we have said all week, is the buck stops with you. And ultimately it's Penny Hardaway's responsibility to know everything about his program. So I'm down for getting every dollar you can, but Boog has come out of nowhere.
Exactly.
And all of a
that's
sudden
exactly right.
Seemingly made himself a very important figure for this program.
That's exactly right.
Again, I'm a guy that covered Ron Bell and his sort of association with Josh Pastner. And I'm not here to tell you that's even remotely close to the same thing, but that's the point. Your program starts to get these characters come in and all of a sudden they have influence with your program. Those aren't signs of good health. Or where my point, where you want to be. You want to be avoiding these kinds of distractions. And so, again, ultimately, it all could work out that my man could sell $100,000 worth of images on water cans.
Yeah.
I'm not here to put a cap on him, but I'm here to tell you
you don't like the feel of
it. I don't like having company, program, business out on Front Street, and Penny Hardaway shouldn't either.
Well, I think you're exactly right.
You got leaks. You got characters coming in now that apparently have control and sway in your program. This is not a good. These are not good things. If I'm Ed Scott, I'm not happy with this.
No question.
The new AD, this is not a good look. I want my porch cleaner. I'm on probation.
Man,
what are we talking about
here?
It's supposed to be time to tighten up, not lighten up. And you got, again, these characters coming in here. And that's with all due respect to Boog.
Yeah, he might be a good dude.
But now we get these reports of, well, Boog was offered $900,000 to pay for something. So this isn't an overpay. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we're getting those. And that's what I'm saying. This was not needed. Certainly, and we'd hoped it was something you could quiet down quickly.
Absolutely right.
I don't know. Hopefully Tyreek Smith is worth it.
Yeah.
you know, is worth all the
no,
all,
I think,
all of this if you're going to give this guy this kind of power in your program.
We found a, is that water? Is that we I think we have another
yeah,
water
so
can.
So they're selling it outside of the radio station now. It's called Not Beer and
okay.
It's just water.
It's just sparkling water. Yeah. So Liquid Death, I do drink Liquid Death. I've not had the Not Beer. I do enjoy the black can sparkling water. You know, but again, that's marketing. That's more than anything else. That's just like Liquid Death is a marketing thing. It's just water at the end of the day. It's very expensive and marked up. But you said a mouthful. And I agree with every single thing you said. Don't they have people in the building that are hired, that are on payroll, that are employees of the University of Memphis to help with this stuff? If they don't, why don't they? And I'm pretty sure they do. I mean, they have marketing people. They have, you know, professionals over there, right, that are employed who have the primary interest of the University of Memphis in mind. Book can say whatever he wants. He can say, oh, I'm just trying to help Penny Hardaway. No, you're not. Because if you were trying to help Penny Hardaway, you would have never gone public with the stuff that you
right,
were public with.
It'd still be quiet, and it, you know, you'd be doing this behind the scenes.
Now, you know, I'm not saying that makes him a bad person. But his interests are not Memphis basketball. His interests are Tyreek Smith and Book.
Mm-hmm.
Which again,
no, I don't disagree with that.
You know, that doesn't make you. I'm not trying to cast him out to be a bad person, but there are two conflicting interests here that are not aligning. And it kind of feels a little bit like wolf in sheep's clothing to me if you're trying to sell me on, oh, he's here to help Memphis. He's here to help Memphis as long as it benefits him.
Yeah.
You need somebody in there who's hired by the university, who works for the university only, right, who can represent the university in their interests and not have conflicting interests going on. I agree with everything you said. I mean, this is one where if you're Penny, you just say, thanks, but no thanks. We're good. I mean, because if this is really true that he was selling candy outside the forum to raise money for NIL, that's embarrassing. I'm sorry, it's embarrassing. Like, that's like a middle school, you know what I'm saying? And by the way, even if you want to contend that, well, somebody's got... What are we talking about here? Are we talking about hundreds of dollars, you know? Are we talking about big money? Because it seems to me that the whole stink was about big money, not the kind of money you can make up if you sell a couple packs of M&Ms or a couple of water cans, whatever those are. Still efforting to find out what those would look like. Sounds like that's we're coming up with the concept, Jason. We will have a proposal in your inbox shortly. But yeah, man, this is one where if you're Penny, you gotta like again, thanks but no thanks. We're not interested. And
if you don't, this is what I said. You can go this route, and you can have Book out there selling it all, and whether it's to help just Tyreek get paid or others, you know, you can go that route. But what it does too is it invites others. Why wouldn't someone else's people on this team, especially as we get into the season, and maybe their guy, you know, maybe they feel like their guy's not getting enough. Why wouldn't they pull the same thing? Why wouldn't they then use the business that they know to then say, Penny, we want more. We're gonna, you know, because again, when this is so public, and now Boog all of a sudden is this character that we've got to pay attention to, right? Because he's got numbers out there for everybody else. So now the whole team, you open yourself up to that, and you know, you're in year seven now, and so like I would say, veteran coaches, like you say, no thank you. We'll handle this on our own. That's just the way you do this. You're opening yourself up to others looking at this situation. I don't give a damn how much he raises, whatever else. When you allow this to happen to your program, you invite more of it. You're basically saying this is how we do business around here. Come and get us, you know, or try it at least. And again, this it's a copycat world. Why wouldn't somebody else's guy do this with their player? And then you've got more, again, needless distractions. You have to, more fires you're trying to put out. So that's why I hate this. That is now, you know, again, with all due respect to Boog, I don't know him.
Yeah.
But now he's someone technically important in the program, right? Hitman Hoops is reporting what he's saying. We're
Penny has given him influence.
You have given him influence. And in doing that, hey, maybe you trust him. But you're inviting others to do it. Yeah. And this is not the... No, it has to be yours.
You don't
That's not
give
the way you
outsiders
clean a house,
influence.
Bro. It's not the way you tighten up.
Nope.
And so, and I know Ed Scott would believe the same thing. And so, whether you're Ed Scott or Tim Duncan, you're coming in new here trying to tighten up, right? You got Penny having turned over sort of a new leaf in terms of what he's saying and everything else. Well, that's good. Remember, you're still also on probation. You got the Malcolm thing you're still dealing with. You're trying to tighten up. You're trying to streamline things in terms of the lines of communication, but also the, listen, you report to Tim. It's back up here to me. This is how it's going to be. Well, now they got Boog they got to worry about. No one needed this. Penny didn't need it. The athletic department doesn't need it. And you're inviting more of it when you make it this public. You got Parrish out here reporting numbers, Hitman Hoops. You got leaks everywhere.
Yep.
Clean it up.
Clean it up, man.
Like that, we've been saying that all offseason.
Yeah. And again, it's nothing personal against Boog. We don't know Boog. We didn't know he existed until this week, right? We didn't know. It's about the
with all due respect, because we don't know him, that's the way it should have stayed.
100%.
We don't know Boog.
100%. Like,
Boog is one of them background guys. Y'all take care of that behind the scenes.
Because he's not even Tyreek's agent.
Now the business is out.
He's not even Tyreek's agent. Like, he says that. He's not even he's a family friend, mentor of Tyreek Smith. And because he went as public as he did with it to try to, you know, air out the grievances and get stuff done. Now what has happened
with the whole line of "I don't normally do this,"
right? And now all of a sudden,
which should have been a rip.
He's in charge of Memphis NIL. Come on, bro. I mean, what are we doing here? We're not talking about peanut M&Ms and sparkling water. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. We're talking about M's, not M&Ms. M's.
Sound like according to Hitman, he's gonna be working hand in hand with the program and.
Hey, he's the new general manager, bro.
Maybe he should be hired for the job.
You won't be buying any candy from him, so that's not super effective.
Let's see the resume.
Said no.
It's not good planning if you're down there selling at FedEx Forum right now.
Yeah. Right. There's no traffic.
Ain't no traffic down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to the BP.
Go to the Grizzlies game. You're
going to get more action outside the BP.
Now, again, that was one person that tweeted me that.
I mean, we got Hitman saying that. I don't. You one person tweet. He's doing it today.
But yeah, which he's there this morning.
An absolute joke.
I mean, I don't know.
I told you, I'm not accepting this candy information.
I was told by multiple people that he isn't.
But you have Hitman out here.